Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We are halfway through 2026, July 1st today, and the start for a lot of government entities of a new fiscal year. And we want to talk about that because it applies to Douglas County as well. County Commissioner Tom Kress, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me, Carl.
So the new fiscal year begins today. Overall, when you look at the county finances, how are things looking?
Yeah, so starts July 1st, 2026-2027. Budget is really similar to the years past. It's up and down in a few areas just slightly, but it's kind of similar to what we've talked about in the past. We're holding our services at the level that we've had in the last couple of years. The only real we had some positive stuff is we've had some uptick in federal timber receipt revenue, and that makes the budget look a little better for sure.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. So the raw numbers themselves don't vary a lot then from last year?
No, well, they do in a way. I mean, so the budget that we adopted this year was $207 million. That's down from $221 million last year. But if you look at a lot of that could be a big project. So, like, we were still wrapping up the Conford Bridge project, and that is millions of dollars. And it's, not so much coming out of county coffers as a pass-through, but we have to show that as a revenue in and expense out, and that increases the amount of the budget. And this year we don't have quite as many of those projects, and so it fell from 221 to 207.
So sometimes people ask, how does the county generate income?
So maybe a better word would be receive income. Purely in generation, if you wanted to talk about generating income, we do have departments that are income generating departments, and those would be like the planning department and the building department, the fairgrounds, the museum, the parks department, solid waste. Those either have user fees or some sort of experience fee, like going to the museum and actually paying an admission. They generate revenue. But if you want to talk about receiving revenue, it would go beyond that to there's a couple other ways. We have grants that we get, like we talked about the Conford Bridge project a minute ago. A lot of that was a grant project. So we apply for, we get money from a grant, and sometimes we have to match some, sometimes we don't. That is revenue that comes into the county. And then there's property taxes, which is only about 8% of our budget, actually, is revenue from property taxes. And then traditionally, Douglas County has been funded by federal timber receipts, and that has been the largest, still is, and always has been the largest portion of the revenue that Douglas County has received.
So do you think the property tax is kind of a misconception in terms of people think that it really funds a lot more than it does?
Oh, definitely. That would probably be the number one misconception when I talk to people about property tax. For one, statutorily in the state of Oregon, the counties are the tax assessor and collector. But that's for all the different districts in Douglas County. We collect them and then distribute that to us. So that would be to the city of Roseburg, the city of Sutherland, to the fire districts, to your water districts, anything that has any kind of special district at all, or another thing. We collect the property taxes you pay and send it out to those different agencies. And in that, a very, very small part of it actually comes to Douglas County government.
Yeah, and one of the things a few years ago, I started looking at property tax, the billing statement, when those come out. And we've got two of those, and you looked, I don't remember the numbers specifically, but I think I was a bit surprised. Happened to live in the city, so you've got the city, you've got Roseburg School District, et cetera. And the numbers are a lot different than maybe a lot of people realize.
They are. It's an interesting exercise, and I'll bring people into my office once in a while, and I'll pull up their tax statement, and or they'll bring it in, and we'll talk about it a little bit, and we'll go over some of those categories. Statutorily, in Oregon, you could pay as much as $10 per thousand of assessed value on your property to a government entities, and $5 per thousand for education. And if you're in certain areas of Roseburg and maybe in Reedsport or something, you are at that. That's the max. You can't go, you know, pay any more than that. It's called compression. They don't let that go any higher than that. But if you start looking at that, you know, then the amount that actually goes to, you know, the various things will surprise you how much that is.
Now, to put the budget together, it's a big, long process. Talk about how the budget committee is involved.
Yeah, the budget committee, another function of the state statute, is made up of equal number of members of the public that there is board members. So that in this case, there's three budget committee members to match the three board of commissioners. It's a independent review, basically, the budget committee in total is an independent review and a public process of going over our budget. It gets presented to the budget committee by the department heads. They get to ask questions in a public setting, we can, you know, they can review, ask questions, you know, try to justify why things are some of what they are. And at the end of the day, they get to the budget committee, approves the budget for the following year.
And then it goes from them to the commissioners then.
That's right. And there's always a little bit of tweaks because of the timing, but not much, never significant. And then it goes to the commissioners a couple weeks later, and we have the option to, for the most part, we either approve it or we have to have something modified. But as a rule, we approve the budget that was adopted by the – or we adopt the budget that was approved by the budget committee.
And who do you have on the budget committee now?
It's made up of three individuals, Catherine Jones, Jeff Johnson, and Tom Nelson.
And at least a couple of them have been on there for a long time, right?
They have, yeah. I'm not sure exactly how long all have been on there, but they've been on there, at least two of them have been on there since I've been here, since 2019. They're now pretty experienced, and in a budget like what we had this year, they know what to expect, and they kind of, because it was so similar to last year, it goes pretty smooth.
Now, how many employees does the county have now, and how does that compare with, you know, backing up a number of years?
Yeah, okay, so right now, I think this year, our budget is 528 full-time equivalent positions, or what we call FTEs. That's virtually identical to last year. In the past, if you go back, you know, several years, 15 years or so, it could have been, much higher than that, clear up to 1,200 at one time. You know, we had public health. We had some other divisions. And even in, 23, I think we had 521, maybe it was 550 FTE, and it's slowly, you know, worked down to this level at 528, and over a quarter of that, significantly over a quarter of that, is public safety. So your sheriff department, jail, and all that, and that number has not changed much over time. It's been all the other departments that have really been reduced.
Now, you mentioned the federal policy relating to forestry having an impact. Talk more about that.
Well, yeah, there's a couple things that have happened this year that's been significant. On the ONC timberlands, we were successfully lobbied to have Congress actually enact a law that said that the receipts off the ONC lands will be shared with the counties, not at the traditional historic 50% rate, but 75%, which is what the original act said back in 1937. And that's a significant number. So we, you know, that probably was even on a reduced level like last year, was probably a $4.5 million increase in the receipts to the county. And at the same time, we have an administration that gets the fact that our forests are burning up, they're not being managed properly, and that we're getting ate up by Canadian lumber. And we have all that right here that we could do if we could unleash some of the capacity of the federal force. And so they've mandated that the agencies do just that. And so, you know, while that hasn't actually put receipts into the county coffer yet, that that hope plus the additional 25% makes the revenue picture a lot more rosy than it did a few years ago.
Now, in the past couple of days, the congressional delegation announced the payment in lieu of taxes funding. Douglas County got a good amount for that. Where does that go?
That, or another word, payment in lieu of taxes is another word name for that, or what we use is PILT. And that money is discretionary, just like the ONC stuff. So it goes to the general fund. It can be used for anything. It can be the sheriff's department. It can be for the roads. It can be used for whatever department needs it. But it just goes into the general fund.
All right. We're going to talk more with County Commissioner Tom Kress when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. County Commissioner Tom Kress with us. State Representative Alex Scarlato, Santa Morales, Inside Douglas County, talking about the county budget with the new fiscal year beginning today. Now, you mentioned not as much with big infrastructure projects for this coming year, right?
There's not quite a few. I mean, we had some really big ones. We had the Oakland and Concord Bridge projects in the last couple of years that stretched over maybe a three-year plan, and those are wrapped up. And then we also the last year had a big radio infrastructure, radio communication infrastructure upgrade, and that also is not, there's no very little money budgeted in this next year coming up. So we've got Glendale Safe Routes to School infrastructure going on with sidewalks and crosswalks and flashing stuff going this year. That's a pretty good one. And then we'll continue to work on the Garden Valley and Melrose Interchange. But not as much this year on infrastructure as in the past.
Garden Valley, Melrose, are we talking in town? We're not talking in town. We're talking out towards Melrose ways, right?
Correct. Yeah, at the intersection of Melrose and Garden Valley there.
So what is there a plan for some changes there?
Yeah, I mean, we continually to do traffic studies of our major corridors. Those are done by ODOT, and then they give us recommendations of certain things. You know, you should put in a traffic light here, put street lights in here, that kind of thing, or speeds. And over the years, that intersection has had many improvements as they were, ODOT had said. In the last, which they do every 5 years, the last study that did there, they said that it needed to have something in the way of a traffic signal, but they didn't want to do that because of where it was located on the hill. We had to move the intersection considerably further northwest. So their recommendation was to have a roundabout put in there. And so that's in the works. We're at the engineering stage of that right now.
And so that's probably going to be a ways down the road before whatever gets decided then is implemented.
Well, I mean, it's an ODOT administered project. So we applied for a grant to do that. And because they had recommended it, it qualified for the grant. And so because of that, it puts it, it's something they're going to run with. Their timeline is, it's actually, it's fairly aggressive. So, they're looking at a construction in fall of 27.
Now, one of the things the county government seems like you've really worked on in the last 5 years, maybe more, is things improving the coastal areas, some of the things you have over there.
Certainly. Yeah. Douglas County does have a coastline. It's narrow, but it's right there at Winchester Bay, and we've made lots of infrastructure upgrades there. A lot of it's in our park system. That's become a tourist draw from all over the country to people come to either stay at the you know, the Winchester Bay RV Resort or the some of the coastal parks that have the sand dune access. And as you know, if you go anywhere near it, you know, there's quite a demand for access to the dunes with the side by sides and various ATVs. And that infrastructure improvements over there just keeps growing and, you know, and bringing more and more tourists every year.
And do you see even more that you would like to do over there?
Yeah, I mean, we have plans to we're working on. We've gotten another grant to renovate Half Moon Bay, which is the one that's on the far west of the drive out to the beach. And that's a pretty primitive campground now, and it'll be made into a little nicer facility. We just finished a project to put water up to the museum. You know, it was not just to the museum, but all the houses over there, because the water out there was fairly antiquated and fairly small volume, so it needed to have... we needed an upgrade because the people were really struggling with the water in those houses, and so we just finished that. And we'll continue to, tweak and make the whole experience there at the coast, you know, nice.
And that's got to be one of the challenges for a county with the population we have. Our landmass is really big.
Landmass is really big, yeah, the 100 valleys of the Umpqua. So you talk about that quite a bit. We have lots of bridges, 300 bridges. We just finished doing six of those of littler bridges. I talked to you about the Conford Oakland bridges, but in the last 2 years, we're just finishing up like six littler bridges. And when I say little, they'd be, you know, things that would go over, you know, maybe like McCulloch Creek or South Deer Creek, something like that. And we have lots of those in the county to do. So it is, and not a lot of population relatively for the size of it. So it is a challenge to get all that done.
Now, what about park improvements?
So, we're constantly doing park improvements every year. You know, the Oregon Parks Commission is really good about doing grants, between them and the Marine Board, we're able to either the ones that have water, we're able to redo the docks and the boat ramps. We're doing that this summer up at Cooper Creek. I don't know if you know, up there the parking lot had a really significant grade problem, and was the asphalt was all going away, and then the boat ramp needed to be redone. We're working on that this summer. We're finishing up down in Stanton Park. Getting very beautiful with landscape right now, so it's on par. We're working on, we received a grant at River Forks Park to take some undeveloped area that the county owns out there and build out a dog park. We're also finishing up some renovations at Whistler's Park. So the park system is constantly getting tweaked. As we continue to leverage some of the revenue we get from some of the revenue-paying campsites, they continue to get plugged right back in and to improve the park system.
Anything going on, and what do you feel like the county role should be in trying to help recruit companies or new businesses to the area?
Yeah, that's something that, one of the differences with what we're doing now versus what maybe is done in the past, in the past there would be, let's defer somebody's property taxes or defer this or that and give them something and, to entice them to come here. And oftentimes that failed. We have a bunch of those all around here that have failed over the time that, you know, as soon as their incentives ran away, they've left. So instead, we have kind of a more of a, grow our own mentality where we're going to try to make a really business-friendly environment, as low regulations as we possibly can. You know, we don't control what goes on in the city, but we're definitely going to try to control what we can in the county and try to allow those people to develop on their own, be as supportive as we can. Try to get some of the regulation out of things. Some of the successes we've had, people might not recognize, but for 30 years or more, we've had two industrial parks, the one at exit 103 at the Riddle Pruner Road exit and the Sutherland Industrial Park that have pretty much just sat fallow. In the last few years, if you look, those things have really built out. And part of that is because they were encumbered by a lot of regulations that took some pretty creative things to get out from under. And one of those regulations is the wetlands. The state had deemed most of those area, most undeveloped area that is anywhere flat or anything, is going to be, the state's going to call it wetlands. And so they did. They put that overlay on it, and it made it virtually undevelopable. But, you know, we weren't kind of undaunted on that, and just there was an opportunity to there was an opportunity to buy the old Roseburg Forest Products mill in Dixonville, which had a whole bunch of wetlands associated with it that could offset development at Sutherland and down at Printer Road. And so we did that. We've been doing that. And if you'll notice, those two exits are getting built out. We're working on helping the folks that own the out at exit 129, which is just on the north side of the river, trying to get some of the regulations off that so that can develop, that interchange can develop out with some things. And there's some things in the work there. So that's the kind of stuff we're trying to do, grow, you know, kind of homegrown build businesses. You know, we've had really big success with Fredwall Marina in Reedsport. It's, you know, one of the largest shipyards around now. And that's some work that we've done for economic development. We did last year and it's continuing to be worked on the strategic investment plan with Roseburg Forest Products, which is one of the largest private investments ever in the state of Oregon. And that agreement came about through some work with some of the fire districts and everything in order to develop their plan.
All right, out of time for now. County Commissioner Tom Kress, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thank you, Kyle, for having me.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 1230 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.